You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. Took an ice day today, so get these podcasts churned out.
Yeah.
You don't get those in California, so it's one thing that we'll always have that you don't.
No, but it is pouring right now, and that is interesting. You know, for those who don't know, I was one of the people who is somewhat affected. I don't want to say like completely affected by the fires in Northern California late last year. You know, I had to evacuate my home. Thankfully, you know, my home was fine, and we were able to come back and everything like that. But for those who don't know, like when there are huge fires like this, and then it rains, there tend to be mudslides. And
ooh,
you've seen some of these huge mudslides in the Southern California area where there were fires. So far, we haven't had really too many issues up north where I live, but a little worried because it's supposed to pour today, pour tomorrow. So, you know, I don't live near a hill, so I should be okay.
Don't you guys have like a tsunami to evacuate for too?
I saw that. Like I don't know. I love living in California because the weather is usually
like
amazing. But I'm absolutely petrified of like certain things. Like earthquakes scare me. You know, a tsunami. The idea that scares me. I grew up on the East Coast where you saw your natural disasters coming for you ahead of time. Like it's hey, there's a hurricane coming. Get out in the next week sometime, you know, or,
right.
You know, hey, there's a tornado coming. You have 30 minutes to get underground, you know. It wasn't like, you know, where it's like, hey, there's an earthquake that happened just now. So, but anyways, we're going to talk about the Boston Red
weather
Sox
talk
today.
This weather stuff might be more interesting than this system, to be honest.
Well, that's what happens when you make Dave Dombrowski your general manager, but we are talking about the Boston Red Sox. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Go ahead, Matt, tear this system to shreds.
Don't feel too bad for them. I mean, their young core is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's very Cubs-like. Like the system used
Benintendi,
to be great.
Bogarts, Jackie Bradley, if you consider him a core piece. You know, that's a decent four to build around. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody too, but Chris Sale obviously used a lot of their pieces to get Chris Sale, so that's a good use of the farm system. But yeah, your first question on these podcasts is always, you know, give me the guy that's close to the majors, and I'm looking at this list. I got about four, and one of them has upside. So I guess I'll start there. Michael Chavis, he's my top guy in the system, and has a resemblance of upside. Primarily a third baseman, used to be a shortstop, moved to third. He's 5'10", was in Double-A last year, 22 years old. 282, 347, 563, hit 31 homers with 94 RBIs and 2 stolen bases. That's good. I like a lot of what the stat line tells you 282, you know, 31 home runs is legit. He's 5'10", like I mentioned earlier, which is significant because in the Arizona Fall League, they messed around with him playing a little bit of first base because Rafael Devers, that's who I forgot on the core piece, duh. Devers is pretty good and also younger than Chavis and also in the major leagues. So obviously Chavis isn't going to play third. He's not quite the bat you want to be your DH. He's at least a tier, maybe two tiers below that kind of bat. So, you know, he was in high A and double A last year, so he still needs to go to triple A as well. So he's not going to be anybody you're banking on this year. But if he has to move to first base, which is really the only long-term opening on the infield in this organization, and that he can realistically play, he's not going to play off-field corners either with the guys we listed earlier, he's going to be in trouble because he's 5'10". And for a lot of people, like your first baseman being taller for whatever reason. But I do think Chavez has a 25 homer bat. He just makes loud, hard contact, 5'10", 190, like I said. Not a lot of projection. The body is pretty much what it is. But he can hit 260, I think. He's going to strike out enough to be bothersome, but not enough to kill him. It's all raw power that should play very nice in Fenway. 25 homers with a lot of doubles. So Chavez is a useful player in that sense. Sam Travis should also be up this year. He's a guy that he had a knee injury that, you know, cost him a significant amount of time in 2016. Got a major league cup of coffee in 2017. Did okay. Didn't hit for a lot of power, but that's also kind of been, you know, his issue. Decent contact percentages, kind of, you know, 70% of the major league sample, which isn't great for a no power guy, but 81% in AAA, which is nice. 77%, 86, 83 before that. So he has a chance, I guess, with the Hanley Ramirez kind of situation going on where he could get, you know, some playing time at first base. They re-upped Mitch Moreland. So maybe he's a platoon guy for Moreland, even though Moreland hits lefties fairly well. I just don't know. People project Sam Travis to be a 20 to 25 homer bat, but here's the problem with that. In my opinion, I don't see it. He's never hit more than 10 home runs in a minor league season, which is an issue when you're a first base prospect with no speed. So does Dom Smith excite you?
No.
Well, Sam Travis doesn't have that hit tool, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, not to bury him, but I might as well. Let's see, another guy that's close to the majors. Well, I guess their first-round pick this year, Tanner Houck, is kind of close just because he's college arm. 6'5", 215, so he's got the frame. Primarily, he throws a really heavy fastball guy. He uses it a ton, gets deception and movement with the pitch. Over a strikeout per inning, and I think that's what he's going to have to use, fastball slider. Worst-case scenario, he's a reliever that's really tough on righties because he kind of has that crossfire feel to the delivery. Deception very well, like I said. Has a changeup. It's not as good as the fastball or slider. But, you know, he's going to move aggressively. I bet he starts out at high A probably next season, probably ends the season in AAA, if not AA. But he'll definitely get promoted for sure. I think he's going to be a high strikeout guy. I just don't know. You know, he's going to be probably 170 to 180 inning guy only because I don't know if he's got the stuff to make it through the lineup three times with the big, with the primarily two pitches. So I think he's primarily a bullpen guy. 21 years old, so he's still, the book's not closed on his development at all. But I think he can be, you know, slightly better than average guy per inning basis, but I don't know if the innings will be elite, if that makes any sense. That's kind of where I sit with Tanner Houck. Jay Groom is obviously probably their number – he's their number two guy in the system for me, and it's not close behind Chavez. Him and Chavez are in a tier of their own. You know, you read all the off-the-field – remember all the off-the-field shit we heard about Jay – he goes by Jay now. Jay Groom, you know, before he was getting drafted and everything like that, you know. And then you come to find out that it's more because it's about his dad. Remember the situation with his dad? Are you familiar?
Yeah, his dad was drug dealing or something?
Yeah, his dad, and that's why he changed his name to Jay. His dad goes by Jason Groom, which was what, you know, he went by as well. Changed his name to Jay, probably to separate himself from all that crap. And his father was arrested for dealing cocaine, I believe it was. So not good, but, you know, teams can spin that and use it against the kid as far as makeup concerned, which is baffling to me.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that.
Right. And I don't know if that's the extent of the issues, but I feel like that played a pretty big role in it because the way people were talking about it, it's like the off-the-field issues that followed him finally, but that's not even him, you know what I mean? So I don't know. But 6'6 lefty, which is a good thing. I like that. Big frame. 19 years old at 6'6". The body, though, I think the body's pretty much maxed out as far as size and frame and everything like that. Easy delivery. Fastball sits low 90s, can touch 94. Early pre-draft report said 97. He didn't come close to that in his brief pro sample. He did have a lat injury, though, so that's kind of troubling. Curveball is a plus pitch. It's in the Colby Allard, AJ Puck kind of scale for me, that curveball from the left side. Has a changeup. It's not where it needs to be, but he does have one. Boomer bust type of guy because he could easily not throw enough strikes or hate to say it, he could easily get injured. because he's already been hurt. So, you know, he's a high-end, probably number two starter, just because I think he's going to walk. He's going to walk just enough guys because it's going to be part of his deceptively, effectively wild kind of stint. You know, it's kind of what's going to make him who he is. Nasty movement on the pitches will be hard to corral in sometimes, but he's a high-end number two guy for fantasy, and Jay Groom needs to be owned in all formats just because the upside is so high. Brian Matta is another arm I some I like, 18 years old. 77 innings, 74 strikeouts in low A. Signed him for $25,000 out of Venezuela, so this is a hell of a find. First full season assignment, 89-93 with the fastball. Best secondary pitch is the curveball. Has a changeup. Nothing but deep leagues for Matta. I don't think he's even a top 200 prospect for me, but it's going to be probably 2021, 2022 until he's ready to go. But Brian Matta is a name to follow. Should be a nice kind of guy that helps your ratios more than he gets you strikeouts, but that still carries some value. Josh Okimi is another first base prospect. 274, 385, 436, 14 homers, 74 RBIs. He's a lefty. And, you know, he kept getting shifted against in the minors and struck out a lot. And he worked on his game. He worked on going the opposite way more and making more contact. And the numbers stuck pretty well. I mean, 274, 385, 436, like I said, and so spent some time in double A. That's a pretty nice skill set. Plus raw power, and he does take walks. Defensively, he should play first. I just don't know if the power output's going to be enough for someone like... I like my first baseman to have 30 home runs. I don't think he's going to do that. But I think he can hit 20-plus and hit 270, 280, which I don't know how much value that carries. 270, 280 is also extremely aggressive on the batting average approach. He's probably more likely a 250, 260, just because if they shifted against you in the minor leagues already, they're probably going to do it again when you get up to the next levels. Contact rate has been consistently 68% in the last three levels, so that's troubling as well. So I'm going to, you know, 270, 280 is absolute 100%. Everything maxes out. That's what he's going to do. I'm going to bet 240, maybe 250 with 20 home runs. So that's probably a meh from fantasy terms. Darwin's and Hernandez is a left-handed pitcher, 6'2", 180, some projection in here. Good strikeout totals, walks too many guys. Command and control and durability are going to determine whether he's a starter or reliever. Has a four-pitch mix. Mid-rotation starter is a ceiling, or it could be a good reliever. Travis Lakins is a 6'1", 175 right-handed pitcher. You know, he's an athletic kid, been hurt a little bit, probably a mid-rotation starter in real baseball sense, four or five starter for the Reds for your fantasy team. So Mike Schwarin, University of Maryland, college arm, gets by with deception. Kind of reminds me of Paul Byrd. Remember Paul Byrd back in the day? Indians and Expos had the weird delivery, the hands over the head, big high leg kick, kind of old school. Schwarin reminds me of kind of a guy like that. Because you just throw strikes, a little bit of deception, changes delivery up sometimes, so add pauses and different arm angles. He's a crafty guy, no plus pitch, but everything plays up just because he knows what he's doing on the mound. Probably definition of an average pitcher when he's all said and done. Strikeout rates are always high in the minors just because he's advanced for what he brings to the table. The stuff isn't that great, though. He's probably an innings-eating back-end guy, similar to probably a Tanner Houck, but I would bet on Schwarin being a higher floor than Houck, but not as high a ceiling. So, you know, he might walk too many guys, but, you know, he could figure out a way to get it done. Jalen Beeks is a left-handed arm. Saw a huge jump in the K rate in 2017. Probably a reliever long-term for me, but he could be a back-end guy that gets decent strikeouts, though, so just got to watch. CJ Chatham's an offensive-profiled utility infielder for me, 260, 10, 15, and 5 to 10 steals, probably something like that. Cole Brannon, high upside, outside of Michael Chavez, probably the highest upside bat in the system, was a, you know, second-round pick out of Georgia high school, left-handed swinger, 72% contact rate in the GCL in his first full season, 18% walk rate, didn't hit for any power, any home run power anyways. Did have 9 stolen bases and 134 at-bats, so when he made the most out of his opportunities, 383 OBP. Again, contact rate 72%, 56% in a brief 9 at-bat sample after promotion, so that's something to watch. Needs some strength. He can be a 10 to 15 homer guy with 20 stolen bases and hit 270 with good OBPs at ultimate peak. Don't know if he hits ultimate peak, probably not, but Cole Brannon is a name to follow. Bobby Dalbec is a college bat that I liked and wildly inconsistent. Only hit 260, 370, 429 in the senior season with Arizona Wildcats in college. Didn't like the pressure of getting moved up in the order. Kind of thrived as a 6-7 hitter as a junior. Moved up in the lineup due to, you know, graduation, the people getting drafted for Arizona. Moved up, struggled. Also was a late inning reliever for that team, so he split time doing that. I think he can hit 30 home runs easy. I think he's the easiest lock for 30 home runs of anyone in the system. I just, he might hit 220 doing it. He's like a Mark Reynolds comp for me, for Dalbec. He's got sneakier, a little better defensive chops than you think, like Reynolds, probably at first and third base. Dalbec's primarily played third. He might have to be a kind of a utility as much as he can with the talent in this organization. But Dalbec can play first and third, I'm assuming so. Really good defender at third. I like the arm. 80 grade raw power for me for Dalbec. The hit tool, man, he's going to struggle. He's Mark Reynolds light for me. Good walk rates, everything like that. He's down to the tee. Jake Thompson, arm out of Oregon State. Big-bodied kid, 6'1", 200 pounds. I don't think the body's going to get much bigger. Two-plus pitches in the fastball and the hard slider. Has a changeup, which is more of just a show-me pitch right now. It's not at the level of these other pitches, but it's a mid-rotation ceiling for him with a little bit of a chance to be more. I like Alex Scherff. He's a Texas high school righty. Didn't play last year because they wanted to keep the innings down. Mid-90s fastball, touches 98. Your prototypical Texan, right-handed pitcher. You know, everyone loves kids from Texas that throw hard. Secondary pitches are significantly behind the fastball, but he throws fucking hard. And that's what, you know, velocity's king nowadays. So that's something. But and Danny Diaz is a guy they signed for $1 million, and he's got to follow. But and then I want to mention real quick, too, Lorenzo Cedrola, who's a decently high upside international, you know, signing they have. He's got a little bit of power speed combination. You know, he 285, 322, only slugged 387 in his full season debut. 19 stolen bases, though, 25 extra base hits, 4 of them home runs. I don't know if he's ever going to be a home run hitter. I think he's going to have a lot of doubles and be a gap to gap kind of power guy. But Lorenzo Cedrola is a guy to follow. Say Wee Lin will be up in the utility role in the major leagues this year. Austin Maddox out of the bullpen. Hildemaro Requena, a right-handed pitcher, put up good numbers, bounced back and forth between the bullpen and the rotation, though, in Greenville. So he's a, you know, might be a little bit of a way, but, you know, Boston system's got some talent far down the minor leagues. Ronnie Rodez, weird delivery, got kind of the crouch and the little wiggle there when he goes down, but less than a strikeout per inning, probably a number 4 starter and for the majors. So I don't even, probably a number 6 starter or kind of last guy in your staff. In your fantasy league, and I have a hard time imagining somebody like that's going to break through in the Red Sox rotation ever. They seem to be their, you know, their money, their team that spends some money. So the fastball, 88 to 93, depending on how when you see him. Breaking balls are far enough behind that. The command is shaky as well. He's got a long way to go, but Ronnie Rodez is the guy to follow. That's it, though. The system needs more high upside guys, needs a lot of the high upside guys are way below in the lower levels of the minor leagues. So it's Michael Chavis or bust for Major League Impact this year. Other than that, that's all we got for the Red Sox, man.
All right. That's going to wrap us up. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.